Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's episode 21 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker. I'm so excited today because my guest is Elizabeth Durazzo. Elizabeth is starring in a movie called The 33. It's out in theaters right now. It is also co-starring Antonio Banderas. Hello. And a lot of really talented actors. And on the show today, she's going to tell us how she got that part, what it was like filming in Chile. And we also talk about what it's like for life for us as character actresses, which Elizabeth and I kind of, Liz, as I call her, kind of fall into the category of. We actually see each other at auditions a lot, and we're like, hey, how's it going, buddy? So we talk a little bit about that, as well as our mutual love for Green Arrow. Oh, Stephen Amell, why don't you call me? Oh, yeah, because you're married and I'm married. It's fine. We will, we'll meet someday, I'm sure. So, yeah, really great show today with Elizabeth. And make sure if you like the show, if you're liking the podcast, first of all, thank you so much for listening. But also, please share it with a friend. I would love it if you guys would just take a second and share an episode, or maybe your favorite episode, or even this episode with a friend on Motherhood in Hollywood, because that helps me so much get the word out about the show. And I know that there's a lot of people listening, and it would mean the world to me if you guys could also share it with a friend and recruit some other listeners. It would certainly help me out in terms of not feeling like I'm talking to a vacuum. Like talking in a vacuum, I should say, because talking to a vacuum makes no sense. All right. It's late. I'm tired. It's been a long day. Before I get into the interview with Elizabeth, I want to tell you quickly about our fundraiser coming up December 7th here in Los Angeles at Acme Comedy Theater at 7:30 p.m. We are going to be having a live taping of Motherhood in Hollywood. My guests are comedians Daniel Koenig and Lori Kilmartin. They're both two very funny moms with great stories to tell about how they parent and also try to maintain a career in showbiz. It ain't easy, folks. It ain't easy. Because not everybody has like a full-time nanny and, you know, house cleaner and, you know, all of that stuff. It's actually pretty hard. That's also why I'm so tired right now. So if you get a second, please go to motherhoodinhollywood.com. Check out the information on how you can buy a ticket or make a donation to the organization we're raising money for. It's called No Kid Hungry. And what they do is they provide meals to hungry kids all over the United States. And I know this is the season of giving. This is the time when we all have so much on our plates. As we gather around the dinner table, it's just a season of plenty for many people. But it's important to remember that a lot of people in the United States, and children especially, are going hungry every day. And No Kid Hungry provides meals for them. And they also provide education for families on how to cook healthy meals and do smart shopping, which is also really important, especially when you're on a budget and when you maybe don't have enough money to provide, you know, all of the meals and all the food that you want. So it's a really great organization. If you want to check it out, again, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the MIH Live link or the picture I have posted there about the event coming up. Won't you join us for a night of laughter and cheer for kids? Okay, that's probably the worst tagline. Don't use that. Nobody use that. It's the worst tagline I've ever come up with. I'm working on it. Yeah, there's that. And also, for me, potty training is still a struggle. And I'm thinking back to the conversation I had with Rosie Pope last week about waiting until your child is older. And I know that we have started early with Channing in the potty training because I needed to get her in her preschool. And I love the idea that preschools should help potty train. Like, I don't know why they don't all do that. But ours doesn't. And now we're struggling. We're paying for it because I'm pushing her a little bit early. And we're having a lot of accidents. But then we also have a lot of great days where she totally gets it and it clicks and she goes poop and pee pee in the potty. So What can you do, guys? What can you do? Just wait it out. And I know she'll get it eventually. So there's that. There's also, like, you know, acting wise, I have a lot of really fun, exciting and scary, wonderful things happening with Motherhood in Hollywood. And this is a new adventure for me. It's a new chapter in my life. And I really feel lucky that everybody has been so receptive to the show so far and to my blog and to what I'm trying to do. So thank you to everyone. Just everyone, just the world. I assume the world is listening. I have some big auditions this week I can't talk about, but it's so great because every time I get an audition, I'm like, hooray, audition. And then I panic because I'm like, oh, crap, what am I going to do? I've got to figure out how to get a babysitter for Channing and also find some time, you know, while I'm taking care of her to study my lines and, you know, make good choices as an actress. And it's hard. It's certainly a challenge. It's one I enjoy, and it's one that I'm passionate about. So that's why I do it. Yeah, that's pretty much, I think that's all that's happening. We talked about the fundraiser. We talked about all of the wonderful things happening for Motherhood in Hollywood. Well, I didn't really talk about it. I mean, I can't really talk about it. Some of it is like private and on the hush hush. On the hush hush? Oh, geez. I need a nap, you guys. This is bad. We talked about sharing the show. I think maybe I'll just stop rambling and just get right into the interview with Liz. Here you go, guys. Enjoy. All right, you guys, so here's the deal. We have a celebrity among us today, and I've been told that I have to pronounce her name Derazzo. Oh, I think I made it Italian. It's Elizabeth Derazzo, but I think I made it Italian.
No, it sounded good. It sounded good.
At least great. I didn't go Derazzo.
I know. What's your name?
Elizabeth Derazzo. Derazzo. Elizabeth Derazzo. Derazzo?
Derazzo.
Oh, see? I love it. And you and I have known each other for a long time now. We met through a mutual friend of ours, Lindsay Hollister. Mm-hmm. And also, I see you randomly at auditions. And just so you know, Elizabeth is very brown, and I am very, very pale.
I'm a brown bear.
And when I see you at auditions, I'm like, what the?
Like, what are we doing here? Why are we, like, why are we going in for the same thing?
I know.
So random.
It's so random, but it's also so Hollywood. Very. Because it's very much like, if you're not a size 2, then you're everything else.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. And you're in that category.
You're in that category. And we are character actresses.
Yes.
Right? Did you think when you started acting that you would be a character actress, or did you have aspirations for leading lady?
I was very naive about this whole industry. When I first moved out here, it was after I had been, an extra on The X-Files, cause I'm like obsessed with that show.
Yeah,
still am. Revival coming, to you January 24th on Fox. Small
are you
puck.
Just counting down?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm like, I'm pissing myself.
I know you are. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, Liz is going to be so excited.
Oh, God, no.
What do you think, like, about the casting for that, though? Like,
well, I mean, Jillian and David are back, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then they brought back the cigarette smoking man, William B. Davis. And I think they brought back Annabeth Gish, who played Reyes on it. And then I think they are introducing Robbie Amell.
Stephen Amell's brother?
Yeah. No, his cousin.
It was cousin.
Yeah, but they look alike.
So
and they're
hot.
So hot.
Just a hot family.
The genes and that. Ooh. Like, seriously, the gene pool. Like, I'm like, can I just...
I know. I cannot even watch that show with Chris because I'll be like, oh my God, he is so
Which arrow?
Hot. He is so hot. And it's like, we have a drinking game, or we used to before we had a kid, how long into the show it would be before we saw him shirtless. Sometimes it's like literally the first scene. Sometimes it's like 3 or 4 minutes in, but.
No, my favorite is when he does it shirtless and he does a salmon ladder and like Felicity's just like drooling. And I'm like, oh my God, she's me. She's like the audience like for us. Like, seriously.
She got really lucky because she was, I think.
She was a one-off.
Yeah. She was just a one-off little character, and now she's like...
She's the leading lady. I mean, I know technically Katie Cassidy is supposed to be, quote-unquote, the leading lady, but I'm like, I never connected with her character.
Mm-mm.
And as soon as
terrible. I'm going to say it if you don't want to.
I really don't want to. I loved her. I will say I loved her as Ruby on Supernatural. I thought that that's the type of character that she should play.
Because I was like, God,
yeah. Well, she had done a few things like before that, but I know I really loved her as Ruby in Supernatural, and that's the role that best suits her. Mm-hmm. So when I saw her in this, and they had no chemistry, and I was just like, oh my God, this is terrible.
It's so bad.
And then they introduced Felicity, and she's so light and just like awkward, and she just fits him so well.
She's gotten so much more comfortable in that part.
Well, because she was really new, too.
She was very green. You could tell in the beginning. It's like somebody went and, like, get her some acting lessons.
Yeah.
Because they saw the potential there. Now, even this season, she's so much more confident.
So much better.
It's...
But, I mean, I loved her even then. I just thought that she's just gotten... I think she was really great at the comedy in the beginning. Yes. She sat really great timing.
Yeah.
It was the drama aspect of it that it was a bit much for her to handle at times. Yeah. But I think she's gotten progressively better.
Yeah, definitely. Came off as a little insincere, but she's definitely better now. But the other girls are not. The sister of Laurel's sister.
Oh Sarah?
Oh, my God.
But you see, I still think that she's better.
Then Laurel. Yeah,
I mean, she's my black canary. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Arrow fans or hardcore comic book fans. Don't hate me, but I'm sorry. Sarah will always be my black canary. I'm sorry. Yeah, she's the original, and she's badass. And
So now she's gonna be. She's still gonna be some type of canary, right?
She's the original canary, as far as I'm concerned. But yes, I know she's going to Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah,
with Brandon Routh, who played Adam,
Ant-Man.
Adam on and
wait, Adam Man?
Adam, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Chris will kill me.
You know,
he's
and I'm
probably
not,
yelling
it's
right
so
now.
It's funny because I'm not really into the comic book world, but because I became obsessed through Smallville, which I still think Clark should have ended up with Chloe.
I know.
But I've learned about comics through it, and So
Smallville was your kicking off point.
Yes.
Or was X-Files really your kicking off point for your love of, like, sci-fi stuff? Did you have a love?
Well, you know, I'm not really a sci-fi fan.
Oh, okay.
I never really considered the X-Files a sci-fi show.
Oh, really?
I know people do, but for me it was more...
Well, it's about aliens and shit.
Well, yeah, but it was about the conspiracy theories and also the struggle between science and religion.
Fiction.
And no, I mean, it was always that struggle between Mulder and Scully of the skeptic and the believer. Mm-hmm. And for her, it was a big struggle because of the signs that she knew, but also because she was an extreme, you know, she was a devout Catholic as mm-hmm. well. So it was always that struggle. And that's what I really loved about the show, that there was that struggle. And then, yes, there was the aliens and the conspiracies and, you know, and all of the government stuff. But it was more than that to me. And that's what actually, to go back, what brought me into acting. So I just decided to move out here, and I was so naive about the industry that I just like, oh, I'm just going to go be an actress. And
like then, you do.
I know, right? And on my first extra job, I did. I was an extra on the Elian Gonzalez story. I got Taft-Hartley. Had no idea what that was.
Wow, that's great.
And then I had no idea what SAG was mm-hmm. or anything. And I think that helped me a lot. Because then I ended up getting my vouchers, even though I was already Taft-Hartley, because I had no idea what that was. And then I learned on the job, basically, oh, I need to be part of this union. And within 3 months of moving here, I became SAG.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been that way for me. Like, I realized I had to work to make money. So then I started doing that, and I was going to school. And then in 2005, my best friend's manager had met me at a party. He thought I was fun. And he's like, hey, do you want to go in for this audition? It's for a guest star on Cold Case. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, I just don't have a resume or a headshot, and I've never auditioned before. And he's like, yeah, they know that. Just go in. And I auditioned at 2, and by 6 that day, I had gotten the role.
Wow.
So it's kind of always been where I'm so naive about things that I've just...
Do you feel like, though, does that give you validation in your decision to come out here because things have gone so well and, like, are picking up steam for you and, like, you know, you've always sort of, like, we all have our dry spells, but you're always sort of working towards something. You know what I mean? Do you feel like that's validation for you in making that decision?
Oh, absolutely. Because people were like, what is, like, no, that's not going to, you're going to come back in, like, 3 months.
Oh.
And I've stayed, you know, and...
Are you from Tejas?
I'm from Tejas. I'm from Laredo, Texas.
Oh, wow. The, like, way
yeah,
out,
I'm like way at the
armpit.
Tip. I'm at the tip of it. And, but it's, you know, it's funny, though, because I was born in Texas, but at the age of 2, I moved here to LA, and I was here till I was about 10. Mm-hmm. And then I would come back every summer, and then from 14 till 18, I lived in Laredo, and then I've lived here ever since. I've spent about 25 years of my life here.
Wow.
Compared to like 10 that I've lived in Texas.
Yeah.
So I'm more of an Angeleno
yeah.
than a Texan, but I still claim Texas, or I mean, than a Laredoan.
That's how I feel about Oklahoma. Like I'm from Oklahoma. I mean, I was born and raised there.
So you're right up above me.
Right up above, yeah. I was born and raised in Tulsa, but when I left to go to college and then I graduated school and I went to work, I have only lived in Tulsa a few years before we moved out here. And so, I mean, we've lived here now 10 years.
Yeah.
So I consider the LA to be more home than Oklahoma, even though Oklahoma is where I'm from.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a weird feeling. My Okie friends get really mad at me. Like, you stop denying us. Don't be ashamed of us. And I'm like, I'm not telling anyone.
I know. That's what my friends tell me too. Also, because when I go back and I speak like this, they're like, my friends always like in Spanish, she'll be like, Why don't you just talk right? And I'm like, what do you mean talk right?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I'm like, what do you think?
You have like, do you talk like Valley?
I guess so, because I'm like super animated and I speak like this. And I'm like, you know, this little Latina, and I'm just like, what?
But that's how I've always known you to be. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever spoken differently than I do now, but I guess they notice or
they
something.
They notice, yeah.
And they just feel like I'm not, like, I'm putting up this, like, front.
I know. My friend Amy, I started saying, I don't know where I picked it up, but I started saying the word lovely a lot. And I was like, oh, that's so lovely. And she would go, lovely? Like, who do you think you are? And I'm like, I think I'm fucking lovely. That's who I think I am. Don't make fun of my words. I live in LA now. We use big words like lovely.
Like lovely.
But
and
now
sporadically.
And sporadically. And I'm hyper aware of that now because I'm like, oh, I do say lovely a lot. Maybe I should pick another word.
Well, I say cool beans and awesome sauce, so.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Someone called me a nerd. They're like, you're such a nerd. I'm like, what?
I did hear you say cool beans earlier.
I'm like, what? Why is cool beans a nerd word?
I think because people said it like 20 years ago and you're still hanging on to it.
It's like groovy.
It is like groovy. I remember cool beans in like high school, people saying cool beans.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? I had never heard it before 2002. And the reason I heard it was because I was watching American Idol and it was the season that Kelly Clarkson won and she would always say cool beans.
Oh,
and so
my
I was like,
God.
I've tried to like emulate my life after hers.
Mm-hmm.
And because I mean, I think we're super party soul sisters. She just hasn't realized it yet.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, she said cool beans. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm going to start saying cool beans.
I'm going to say it all the time.
All the freaking
time.
Maybe
it was like 90s. Maybe it was like late 90s then that people
I'm
were
sorry,
saying
I'm sorry, but
cool
it didn't
beans.
Happen in Clueless. It didn't happen at all.
I know, that's true. Oh my God, Clueless. God, that's like...
1995.
I was going to say they had an anniversary recently for Clueless, huh?
I saw that movie at a drive-in theater here in LA.
Wow.
When I was 14.
Was it the one downtown, the drive-in theater downtown?
No, it was in Panorama City. There's a high school now, but it was across my elementary school and it was right there. And I remember seeing that. It was a double feature and it was Crimson Tide and Clueless.
Oh my gosh. That's weird.
Totally random.
Yeah. That's bad programming on the drive-ins part. Whoever did that was.
But stupid. I love Crimson Tide. So, you know, whatevs.
There you go. And when I think of Crimson Tide, I think of Clueless.
All the time. They go hand in hand for me.
That movie has such a special place for girls, know, like for women our age. Like they love that movie and gravitate towards it.
Oh, yeah. It was a moment in time
for sure.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. And, well, it's like, it's also, I mean, like in Mean Girls also, I think for that generation, although I love Mean Girls, I was already like 23 by the time that came out.
Yeah.
But it's like Mean Girls for other people or Heathers for people in the 80s.
Yeah. Now see, so. I love Heathers. Though I wasn't like a teenager when it came out, I was still way too young to be watching it.
My name is Heather.
So I loved it. I still love that movie.
You're
I watched the shit out of it. I know. My favorite part is where she goes, why are you being such a mega bitch? And she goes, because I can be. Oh, I live for that.
Oh my God. That just totally reminded me of someone.
Oh, I know. Was it me? No.
It was totally you.
I know who you're talking about.
Totally.
I live for the day somebody says to me, why are you being such a mega bitch?
Why are you being such a mega bitch?
Because I just want to be like, because I can be, motherfucker. Like, it's a gift. It's my gift to the world.
It's a gift. No, but yeah, Heather's is
Heather's
awesome.
For sure.
And you know, also to a lesser extent, in the 90s, Jawbreaker. Do you remember that?
Oh my God, barely.
With Judy Greer. Isn't Judy Greer?
Yeah.
And Rose McGowan?
Judy Greer has been acting for that long.
For a really long
time. And
she
still has not had like a major breakthrough.
Which is crazy because I think she's so funny.
You know, I read an article this summer about, because she was in Ant-Man,
I haven't seen it.
She was the mom in Ant-Man, or the wife. ex-wife in Ant-Man. And the article was basically about how she has been acting for so long and her talent and her abilities in a lot of ways far outweighs the co-stars and the leading men that she's acting with. Yeah. But she's always relegated to smaller parts and, you know, the one-off, like, sidekick. And
like, best, she always plays, like, the best friend.
Right, the best friend.
Or something. Like, I remember her, at, it was in my, that freaking movie with Jennifer Lopez, and she was, like, the best friend.
Made in Manhattan.
Was it that one?
No,
no, that's she was a wedding planner. Wedding planner.
Oh, wedding planner.
There you go. There you go.
That movie was appropriately titled. So, yeah, she was the wedding planner. That was with Luke Wilson? Owen Wilson.
No.
One of the Wilsons?
I want to say Matthew McConaughey.
No.
Wasn't it Matthew McConaughey?
Maybe.
Because, like, doesn't he save her, like, when a trash can's about to hit her and, like, she's, like, my shoe?
Jennifer Lopez made a movie with Matthew McConaughey?
I think so. I think it was him.
To Google that right
away. I want to say, but Judy Greer played like the best friend slash like person who helped her. I think she was like
she
her
was
assistant.
A wedding a planner.
Yeah,
assistant.
Which I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, no, you know, not trying
well,
to shame
and that goes
like
back to what we were talking
Jen,
about earlier
J-Lo, but,
about character actresses, right?
Yeah.
Like The Wedding Planner in 2001. Dang, that movie's 14 years old. That goes back to, it was Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yes. You're I'm right. really good at retaining like useless information. In this case, we can totally use that information. Cause, yeah, Judy Greer.
Was a Wilson in that movie? Nope. Not even at all. Mm-hmm. Kathy Najimy was in it. Oh my God. That's so funny. No, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about being character actress. Like, yeah. You could have aspirations when you move out here to be the leading lady, and then Hollywood will just smack you right in the face and go, nope, you are the best friend, the wacky neighbor, I literally auditioned for a part the other day that was Nosy Mom. And I was like, I'll take Nosy Mom. That's,
yeah,
that
you know,
is
like,
actually,
whatever, give it to me.
That is pretty spot on, actually.
But you see, I never had any idea of what I was supposed to be. So when I just started working, like, because even on Cold Case, I wasn't like the wacky best friend. I was just a college student who went through this terrible event and was trying to keep the secret. And my name was Shirley. I was nondescript. I wasn't like white. I wasn't Latina.
Yeah. Plus size or skinny.
Yeah. It was just like, I mean, yeah, I think I was considered the chubby girl because that episode was about girls who were a little bit bigger.
Right. That's where you met Lindsay. And is that where you met Christina Sexton?
Christina Sexton.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And, so it was just so nondescript in that sense of just like, I was just this college kid who went through this event and who was keeping this secret. And then, you know, in ER, I was like woman with a bad yeast infection. And literally I said that I have the mother of all yeast infections. That was my line.
And those are the funniest scripts that you get when you're a character actress and you get scripts for like, you know, lady with an Adam's apple or like whatever weird.
Just random.
But they don't give you names. That's when they don't give you names. That is so frustrating
it's
for
so
me.
Well, like I did Southland and cause they had casted me for ER. So they cast a Southland. Mm-hmm. So they had already liked me and they had brought me, which is crazy because I used to do like ER was one of my regular extra gigs, like background work. I was there like at least 2 or 3 times a week. Like
and
that
then
was
you
one
got
of my
to go and
yeah,
be
and
oh,
I got
that's
to be. So
awesome.
I still remembered some of the ADs who were now like you know the seconds that were now like first AD. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's so cool.
But I remember for Southland, I was a gangbanger's girlfriend, and when I walked in to the casting call, I showed up like in a short like black denim skirt with like chucks and like a muscle tee, black with like a skull and like eyeliner and my hair down. I was like, I thought I was like totally down, and then I see these chicks that I think were truly from like. They went and picked them up somewhere.
No,
and I'm
don't
like,
you see
I'm
those
gonna
girls?
Get
you're
my
like,
ass
whoa.
Beat. Like I am gonna because and they were looking at me like what like
what is who's this poser?
Who is this bitch?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
there are some auditions like that where I go in because weirdly I get called in for like prisoner, and like I've gotten called in for.
Although
gang
you know
member,
what, with a little, I can see, actually, you can see it. I can see it now. Yeah.
It's very strange to me, and I'll go in like that, and I'll see people where I'm like, I think she's actually been in prison.
Oh, totally.
Either that, or they are just like really good at committing to character.
Oh, yeah. Major commitment.
I wonder if it's like more of this movement. My commercial casting agent was telling me there's more of a movement nowadays to cast a lot of real people in those types of roles, like real EMTs, you know, on ER type shows, more real nurses. And I'm like, what? Why?
But then do they get the same, like, I mean, not to say that they're not talented in like what they do. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. they're freaking like saving lives. Mm-hmm. But I just mean, like, does it talent, like, does it not matter if they're
good actors? I don't think so. I know. I think it matters to a point. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of casting directors lately, or there's an article with some big casting directors at South by Southwest last year said that talent really only accounts for something like 7% of what an actor is bringing to the room. Yeah, the rest of it is producer's preference, how big of a name this person is, and like if they can sell you, and timing, and your agent, and, you know, oh, there's so many other factors that go into it mm-hmm. that you could walk into the room and be the best thing that they've ever seen all day and still not get the part. And that, to me, is what is so frustrating about this industry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I guess, and then I should thank my agent, because for the 33, which is mm-hmm. out in theaters right now, shameless mm-hmm. plug.
We're going to talk about that.
And for that film, originally what I was told was that it was going to go, the role that I ended up playing was supposed to go to Antonio Banderas' daughter.
Oh, really?
That's who the director's preference was. Two of the producers knew my work of Eastbound and Down, and my agent pushed for me and pushed for me. And he was mutual friends with them. Yeah. And he pushed and pushed, and then I ended up getting a straight offer for that film.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell me how that all of that worked then, because you, and I do want to talk about Eastbound and Down and your boobs in a second, but I want to talk about the 33, because that is, like you said, it's out right now. It's so great. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I'll tell you, I'm only going to see it because you're in it. It's not really my type of movie. Yeah.
You're unless gonna cry.
Antonio Banderas gets naked. Does he get naked?
Half naked.
Oh, all right, I'll take it. But anyway, no, I'm so excited for you. That's a big movie and thank a big you. Opportunity for you. And yeah. you said that originally it was going to go possibly to his daughter.
Yes.
Melanie Griffith's? Him and Melanie Griffith's daughter? Or
I'm not really sure. I just knew that his daughter.
Okay.
I'm assuming possibly that.
So how did it all come about? Did you get a call while you were filming Eastbound and Down?
No, I was actually at the Santa Monica Pier with a friend, and my agent says, you need to put yourself on tape for this movie. Like, you know, and Carla Houle, who casted me on Eastbound and Down, was casting this film.
Yeah.
And he's like, you need to put yourself on film for this. Like, you know, like right now, and I'm like, I'm in Santa Monica. It's going to take me like 20 to 30 minutes to get back home mm-hmm. to even do that. And he's like, okay, I'll call you back. And it was like wrong, like, November.
What was the
December,
brush that had to be done right away?
Because I think that they were already going to offer it to her.
Oh.
Or they have, like, I don't know. It was in the process of.
Yeah.
So he was like freaking out. And he's like, never mind.
For a film audition for it to be so quick.
Yeah. And he was like, never mind. It's fine. It's okay. We'll take care of it. And so now I was like, okay, like, what's going on? And then I just remember, I think it was like maybe like a week or two later, like he called me with my manager, and usually I know that when they call, both call me because it's good news.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. I was peeing. And I was like holding my pee.
Oh my God. That's funny.
Because I don't want them to hear me.
Sure.
Do you know what? Can I tell you that every time that they have to call me to tell me that I've got something, I've been peeing in the bathroom.
Why are you on the toilet so much? Do you need a doctor? Why are you peeing so much?
I do. I pee a lot.
Oh my God. Maybe you drink a lot of water.
I do. Yeah. So then they just told me that they had offered it to me, and that I was, you know, flying to Chile come like early next year. And yeah, it was just crazy. Like, there was just a straight offer, and it was just very intimidating because I knew the cast that was going to be involved. And originally when I first heard about it, I heard that Jennifer Lopez was going to be Maria Segovia, which was our lead, which ended up being Juliette Binoche.
Oh, that would have not been the same movie.
It would have been different.
No offense to the J-Lo, but that would have been a totally different film.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, Juliette Binoche.
She even looks like she fits, you know, like, I haven't seen it yet, but the clips I've seen, she looks like a much better fit.
I read an article saying that she was a little bit like miscast, and I was like, really? I'm like, 'cause working with her and then seeing her, I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah. But also it just goes back to the casting of a name of a big celebrity over somebody who maybe doesn't have the J-Lo name that they're bringing with it, but has the talent and the ability to still do a great job in the part, but isn't a name, you know? And that's so frustrating.
Well, it's hard. I think it's hard to make that transition because even now, if you notice, for guest stars on television, if you're not really a name, you're kind of shit out of luck.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know, so it's weird. It's a really weird thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, I ended up getting that and I was just super intimidated just because of the cast, but everyone was so great.
And now,
so,
is it a pretty good sized part?
Yes and no. I mean, like, I'm a supporting player. I mean, the film is really about the minors and what happens to them below.
And you're a wife?
And I'm the lover. I'm the mistress. Oh. I'm the mistress of one of the minors. Okay. And, but a lot of the people that have seen it have told me that I'm, like, the comic relief of it, that because, like, the movie's so serious and so, like, just like, oh my God, you know.
Is it in Spanish, the movie?
No, it's in English, but we all have an accent. Like, we had a dialect coach guy, the Vasco, who did a very good job at trying to unify our dialects, because Antonio Banderas is Spanish, Rodrigo Santoro is Brazilian, Coti de Pablo, she's, you know, Chilean, but she works here a lot, Kate del Castillo is Mexican, Adriana Barras is Mexican, Gabriel Burns is Scottish, Julia Binoche is French.
Wow. You know, so, like, they were just sort of all over the map. Yes. And everybody had to have a Chilean accent.
Yes, Lou Diamond Phillips. You know, it's like, so we all had to...
Lou Diamond Phillips, isn't he Indian?
I think he's Filipino, like part Filipino, part Native American or something.
I think you just said fart.
Oh, sorry.
I'm such a 5-year-old. I'm like, I think you just said fart.
God, you're such a 5-year-old. God.
I don't care where you are.
Why are you such a mega bitch?
Farts, because I can be. Farts and saying the word fart to me is hilarious. But anyway.
So I think Filipino, part Native American. But Lou is amazing. Like, everyone called him Uncle Lou.
He's not even Mexican or Chilean, I mean.
But he's always kind of looked, you know, like he's very ambiguous when it comes to, like, his ethnicity.
He will always be Richie Valens to me.
Oh. Richie!
Oh my God, that was such a great movie. He was amazing.
I love that movie. And Isai Morales was great too.
Oh,
that
totally,
too.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. But, so yes, I mean, like, she had to, like, find a dialect where she could, like, kind of make us all sound alike.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, that cast is enormous and, but it has
great.
It'll have subtitles when they speak in Spanish.
In Spanish. And so what was that like for you? You got to go to the premiere. I saw some pretty awesome pictures and you were, like, right up front and center.
Yeah. I was in the car with my agent before the car dropped us off and I was like, would it be awful if I puked and pissed myself in front of everyone? Because I mean, like, with Eastbound and Down, I had walked the red carpet before. And I had been to the Emmys and the Golden Globes a few times, but it was just more like the after parties and stuff like that. Although in 2013, I did get to go to the Emmys and that was crazy.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to do any interviews or anything like that. I just kind of, like, walked through and went into the thing. Mm-hmm. But this was, like, 3 to 4 times the amount of, like, press and photographers there. And I knew some of them. So I was like, hi, you know, like, whatever. You're like, how are you doing?
Oh,
but it was insane. Like, my cheek was twitching because I couldn't keep smiling. Like, my leg was shaking.
Wow.
So it was like trying to, like, stay upright. And, like, then, like, also when I get stressed or nervous, like, my eye starts twitching, like, right here.
Me too. My eye will just start twitching and I'm like, I'm fairly certain that everybody can see it. So I have to, like, look in the mirror, but you can't, but I can feel it. Like,
oh my God,
thumping.
I can feel it. Like, just like, totally. So it was really crazy. So then after
your face
was
all twitchy and you were about to throw up.
Yeah. And piss myself.
And then
I had to do press. And the press, it got a little bit more relaxed. But then I was, like, constantly thinking, like, am I saying something that I shouldn't be saying? Like, especially when they asked me, like, did you become friends with anyone from the cast? I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really good friends with so-and-so. So what do you guys do? Like, what's, like, a normal night for you? And I'm like, I don't know. We, like, swim and, like, hang out in the jacuzzi and give each other advice. And I'm like, is that too much? Did I give too much? Did I not say that? Yeah. Because my friends are like, you know, like, it's kind of weird, you know?
You know, I wonder that too. Like, because whenever I've done shows with, like, you know, big names on and stuff like that, people always want to know what they were like or what did we do.
Yes.
And you never want to be, like, disrespectful of another actor and their privacy. But also at the same time, you kind of want to tell people, like, oh, it was great. This is what I did.
Because they're awesome people. Yeah. And, like, you want people to know that they're great people.
Yeah. So I know, I never know either what the line is to do. And also, when you're filming something, people are so, networks and studios are so protective now of what you tweet out and what you post on social media. Every job I've had in the last couple of years, I've had to fill out like a social media blackout form that basically says I won't post anything on it. So there's some shows I've had to wait until after, or I'll do a very generic post like I'm on the Warner Brother lot today, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess I know why that is, but also I'm just like, any press would be good press, you would think. Like, but maybe it's just because they can't control what everyone's saying.
It's true. I mean, like, look at Rob Lowe. Like, didn't he just have, like, that massive thing because of the Paris attacks?
Yeah, yeah. When he tweet out, like, this is why you should close your borders, or this is what open borders does.
Yeah, something like that. Something about the borders. And it's like, oh, like, come on, dude.
I know.
Like, although, you know what? Like, I mean, I tweet stuff. I mean, I don't think people care as much as they care about Rob Lowe.
Right, right.
But, like, you know, I'm, like, a huge Hillary Clinton supporter, so I'm constantly, retweeting stuff like that. And I have, like, a little back and forth with someone who's a fan of Eastbound and Down, and I had added them as a friend, and we had a back and forth. And he was just about very Hillary. Insistent. Yeah. And he was like trying to convince me of what a terrible person she is. And I said, you know what, dude? You believe what you believe. I'll believe what I believe. And that's it. Let's leave it at that. And I'm like, and don't worry. I'm like, I'm not going to unfollow you or anything. I'm like, because I think that this is extremely childish and I don't need to.
Yeah.
But he was so trying to convince me like that she was, and I'm like, look, I've been a fan of her since I was 13 years old when I heard her at that summit in China and she said women's rights are human's right and human's rights are women's rights, you know, once and for all.
Right.
Ever since then, I was like down locked in for her. So I'm like, you can't convince me.
Right.
Like I'm in it. I'm in it to win it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so things like that in that extent, or if I put anything about, what was it? I think something about immigration. And someone who actually was on Eastbound and Down with me kind of tried to start something with me. And I was just like, I normally don't reply to ignorant comments like this. But and I was just like, I'm about to school you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens, you know.
Do you find that there is a different kind of fan of yours after Eastbound and Down? Because in that show, first of all, love it. Love seeing your boobs. I feel like we're so much closer now. Was that hard for you?
Like, hadn't you seen my boobs before that? No?
Probably at one of the Halloween parties.
Yeah,
that Lindsay
had. I think so. More than likely.
I remember you told me a little bit about the audition process.
Yes.
And I have to say, I wish I had that level of comfort with my own body. I just don't. And I admire people who do.
Yeah.
Was that hard for you? Or were you just like, whatever, you know?
It was hard. When I first went in, I was late to the audition, first and foremost. And it was for Carla Houle, but Simone LaFleur, who was a casting associate with her. I actually got early to the audition, but I was parked in my car and I didn't want to get out of the car because I was terrified of comedy. I was like, there's no way. I'm like, I'm not funny. I have no timing. I've never done improv before. And I remember being half an hour late to that audition and it was for a completely different character. So I ended up going, you know, through the process and getting to the, you know, to Danny and everyone who was there for the producers and stuff with Efren Ramirez, who ended up playing Katui in that. And for that, I was supposed to breastfeed. So they wanted to see if I was at least comfortable breastfeeding. And I'm like, well, I don't have any kids, but sure.
Right.
And I remember I wore like this, like, oh my gosh, what do you call it?
A tube top?
Yeah. Like but it was a dress.
Yeah.
A strapless dress.
Yeah.
And as we were doing our improv, in the process of that, I felt like there was a little breeze. I was like, why did it get colder all of a sudden? And then I realized when we were done with our improv that my dress had fallen down below my bra. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of like in my bra in front of them. And then she was like, oh, you wanted to do topless? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And I was like, ha, ha, ha. And then after that, they brought me back in for a different role. I only auditioned for that role once for Maria. I did a chemistry read with Steve Little. We did it for 20 minutes.
What's a chemistry read?
They just wanted to see how I looked with Steve and how, like, if there was, like, anything there with us. Uh-huh. Like, it's some magic, I guess.
What happens if there isn't? Like,
then I guess you don't get it.
I know. I'm like, that sucks. That's a lot of pressure. Because you could walk in and that other actor could be like, no.
Yeah.
And then immediately, like, throw you under the bus.
Yeah, I've had two chemistry reads. And with Steve, it was, I almost broke during one of the things because I was supposed to pretend that I didn't understand what he was saying, but I did.
Yeah.
And I just remember leaning in, I was about to laugh and my hair went forward and he just like leaned into me. He's like, don't break, don't break. And he like squeezed my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't break.
Yeah.
And I think that that was like some sort of like, I don't know, like they saw this thing there.
Yeah.
But because we didn't know each other at all.
Yeah.
Like I had no idea who he was and he had no idea who I was. And so then that just brought us to Eastbound, and then they told me that there was more nudity involved in that. And I remember I was kind of nervous and I asked a few people and they're like, well, it's HBO. Like, you know, it's HBO. Like, it's like, if it's a place to do it, you're going to do it on HBO because this is the type of show. And
uh-huh.
I just remember being really nervous and doing it and getting it out of the way. And once I did it once, then like at the last episode of season two, I kind of was just like, what do I do? And Danny and Steve like, well, you should go out the way that you came in. And so I just like flashed my boobs again.
Yeah. Yeah.
My real boobs.
Your real boobs.
Yeah. The fourth season, I got fake boobs.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. Did you ever see the big ones?
I did not see the big ones.
They're like
no.
G's.
Wow.
Massive. Massive.
And I bet you that you all of a sudden got a bunch of new followers on Twitter and Facebook because of it. Because all the guys were like, ugh, yeah. Look at that.
I got a few comments on Facebook and I locked down my Facebook after that, after the second season, because my niece is on my Facebook.
Oh.
And I don't want her reading comments like that. So it's like I did a public profile for that.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, mostly guys are pretty respectful, actually.
Okay, that's
They're
good.
Pretty cool. And I think what I was most afraid of was... what people were going to say because I was a quote unquote plus size woman naked.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just afraid of how cruel people were going to be.
Yeah. That honestly worries me too. That's a big, well, a big part of why I don't want to do it is because I just think it's just, nobody needs to see that for me. But also I worry about that because I'm a bigger girl and I'm like, a few parts have come up recently that have, involved nudity and graphic sex scenes. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't know that I am confident enough in the way I look to allow the general public to go to scrutinize me. So that's why I'm fascinated with that. You just found that confidence in yourself, or maybe you were just like, fuck it. Who cares? I'm going to do it.
Pretty much. I mean, it's just like, I was kind of like, okay, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. It's a great show. It's written so well. And
you made such great connections on
that. Yeah, I mean, I've gotten that to maybe, work off of it a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that that maybe then is what helped you move on to other things and move on to the next level?
Or? Absolutely. I have a show, a series that's starting on Comedy Central called Idiot Sitter.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I saw you posting about it, but then I didn't see anything else.
I met Jillian Bell, who's also on Workaholics, and she was on Eastbound and Down in her last season. And we met, and we became friends there. And I remember her telling me about this web series that she was going to do with her best friend, Charlotte Newhouse, and they're both Groundlings vets. And she's telling me about it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that sounds hilarious. A week after I got back from shooting Eastbound and Down, she called me. She's like, hey, we just put in an offer with your manager. She's like, it's like little to no money. And she's like, and you don't have to do it. Don't feel pressure. And I'm like, yes. She's like, but you haven't even read the script. I'm like, you told me the idea. I'm in. She's like, but it's like 6 days and it's no money. I'm like, I don't care. It's totally fine. My manager was a little bit more wary of it. And she was like, and even now she told me, she's like, imagine if I told you not to do that. And she's like, you would have fired me. And I was like, I know, I totally would have. So we did that web series. It was well received and it got picked up to series. And I just shot that early this year.
So great.
And that was off of Eastbound and Down because she met me there. And like, you know, she saw the work that I did and they casted me for this show. And now I'm a series regular for Idiot Sitter.
And now, how many episodes is that going to be?
We did 10 episodes. I did 8 out of 10.
And so once it airs, then you'll know if it's going to be picked up for
pretty
a season
much.
Two.
Pretty much. We have to sort of wait on that to see what the reaction is. But, you know, the reaction for the actual web series is really great. And we didn't deviate from that a whole lot. You know, it's just have to make it tighter for the pilot and stuff.
Sure.
But it's still there. It's like the idea and what people first liked about it is there. So I really hope that it does well because it's a great show and the girls are so funny and their writing style is amazing and they work so well. And it's two women, showrunners, producers,
you know,
and
really
writers
right
and
now.
The stars of the show.
Women writers are really hot right now. I was in a coffee shop the other day and there was two people in front of me and they were, I thought they were on a date because she was like, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I was like, oh my God, I'm eavesdropping on a date. And I got really excited. Well, after listening to them rudely for like 10 minutes, I realized he was interviewing for a job. She was a literary agent and he was also a literary agent and at a smaller firm. Oh. And she was like, you know, I'm really into women who write comedy right now. That's mostly what I'm into. And literally I just sat up in my chair and it was like my ears perked up and I was like, beep, 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 beep.
You're like, well, here you go.
I know. I wanted to be like, and let me just lay this script out on the table. And then I realized I don't fucking have a script to give her. Like, I, in my mind, have all these ideas and things I want to do. And I've been so focused on the podcast and my website and, of course, on Channing and, like, also my other, like, real job, occasionally auditioning, too. Like, I just... finding the time to sit down and carry out a script and write something has been so
hard.
And so I'm always so impressed with people who take the time to do that and who see it through.
Yeah.
It's one thing to write something and then just be like, oh, look, I wrote this thing. And but then actually see it through to a web series and then get, you know, picked up.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Great.
I mean, now the girls, I believe they wrote 2 films and have sold both of them.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, they're really... you know, just
they're
like,
working it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. So good. And Jillian's working, like, you know, she's coming out in this movie with Seth Rogen coming out on Friday. I think it's a Christmas film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Krampus? No, not
no,
Krampus.
No.
<Something else. laughs> No, I know what you're talking about. It's him and his bros where they have, like, their last
Yeah, and
night
they have
out.
The ugly sweaters.
Yes, yeah.
The,
yeah
actually,
yeah.
I remember the sweaters came out on Shark Tank, and Robert was the one that, like, made a deal with them.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, something like something elves or something. It's
yeah,
so weird.
Yeah.
But anyways, like, I watch a lot of TV, guys.
You do.
And so that was, you know, it was really cool to do that. And, you know, and then I got 2 films back to back off of that were straight off. Well, one was a straight offer. The other one I had to do a chemistry read, but it was basically a straight offer, actually. And that one I turned down 4 times because of the nudity and the graphic sex scene.
Do you not want to do it anymore? Or do you feel like you've been there, done that? Or
I don't mind doing it.
Are
if
you Halle Berry-ing us?
No, I don't mind doing it. I'm like, I'm pretty cool with showing my breasts because it's like pretty much anyone who lives here in LA probably has seen them. And that's like in real life, not just off of TV. But it was just more the graphic sex scenes. And like I was completely nude except for like a merkin.
Ooh.
A really big red merkin. And I had like a red Annie wig.
What?
Curly Annie wig.
What is this movie?
I'll have to show you pictures.
Why did I not audition for it?
I know.
What is this movie?
It's crazy.
Oh my God.
But it's called The Greasy Strangler and it's produced by
the
Elijah
Greasy
Wood.
Strangler?
Wood. Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood.
Wood.
I swear we're not drunk. Oh my God, that's funny.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm totally am.
Wow. The Greasy Strangler?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like based on a comic strip or something like
that.
You
know, I think I remember hearing him talk about it on one of the Nerdist podcasts.
Yeah.
It
was quite an interesting experience.
Who got it though? Who's doing that?
Well, me.
Who? Oh, me. You're doing it?
I did. I already filmed it
with the big red bush and the wig.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I turned it down because of the graphic stuff, and then like they convinced me sort of that it wasn't going to be that way.
Am I convinced? You mean they threw more money at you?
No.
Oh
no. No, they alleviated some of my concerns.
Okay, good.
And it was still what I thought it was going to be, and it was interesting. It was a very challenging role for me, and I was playing the lead. So
yeah, like, I remember you saying something about that. About did you feel disrespected on the set at some point, or maybe it wasn't painted in the light that you thought it was going to be?
I think it was just uncomfortable. I think there wasn't as much. Care taken
and the fact that you were completely naked
and like in the approach, and also because I started noticing that the other 2 male leads they'd be naked but either they'd have like underwear or they'd have a robe or something, and I was fully naked except for like the merkin most of the time, and I just didn't feel that that was like okay, why is she always naked, or you know, like why is she always this, and I started questioning things like that. And yeah, I mean, it was a very difficult, challenging role, but I learned a lot on that set. I really learned a lot about, like, the kind of actor that I wanted to be and I didn't want to be, and about standing up for myself and truly believing that what I feel and being able to not only voice it, but then to stand by it and stand my ground. And then also to not let outside factors affect my work, because I did at times let outside factors affect it.
And it's so hard not to in this industry, because you're so easily like, it's something we all want so bad. Like, it's our dream. And when you see someone dangling your dream in front of you, but then they go, well, but then you have to do this, this, and this first. Yeah. It's hard not to go, well, then no, thank you. I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
And know confidently that there will be another opportunity coming up, because you don't know.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many people that could work one time and then never work again.
Yeah. You and know? I mean, and literally off of this movie, because of how, I don't know, of how much I fought for myself and how much I said and how much I didn't keep my mouth shut. I mean, it could potentially, you know, get around that I'm like, that quote unquote, a difficult actress.
Yeah. Oh, and that's like the worst, because yeah. I think women get labeled with that so much more quickly than men do.
I was a bitch. I was emotional. Yeah. I was crazy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because you stood up for yourself, or you were assertive and yeah. whatnot. And that's because it's a
didn't
male.
Didn't Jennifer Lawrence speak about that too? That she yeah. was like, guys, like, mm-hmm. you don't have to shout at me. She's like, mm-hmm. I'm not shouting at you. Yeah. I'm being assertive.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to do that to me, it wouldn't be shouting.
Right.
And I think that that's the difference, mm-hmm. you know, and that there's like, there is that. What is it? What's the
double
word?
Standard?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, and it's just because the industry is still so heavily male dominated. More and more women are producing things. More and more people of color are producing things and getting involved behind the camera and, you know, and in front of the camera to say, hey, this isn't necessarily representative of the world. This isn't necessarily the right way to handle this situation. So
yeah.
good for you for standing up for yourself, but I'm sure it was hard. And again, I don't know, unless I'm in that situation, how confident I would be. Because I get nervous like everybody else in this yeah. town does. Like, oh, I don't want them to think I'm being bitchy. I find myself being overly nice and overly apologetic. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to bother you. And
had that been me 5 years ago, like even with Eastbound and Down, I would have just been like, okay, I would have just done it. Yeah. Because, but then like, I'm like, I always keep thinking of myself as like, oh, I'm still green. I'm still Sony. And I'm like, wait, I've been working since 2005.
Yeah.
I'm no longer green. I'm no longer new.
Yeah.
I've been around the block. And I was just like, it was just that thing where I'm just like, I'm just going to stand up for myself. Like, I don't give a shit like yeah. who you are.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to do my, you know, I'm going to do me. And like,
you so are you have to figure it out. Friends with Elijah Wood still?
No, well, we were never friends. I mean, like, I met him once on set, and it wasn't actually him that I had the issue with. It was
the other people,
some other people around there. But I mean, not to take away from the fact that by the end of it, and I got to watch some of the dailies, and it turned out differently than I thought it would.
Yeah.
So it's not as offensive as I thought it was going to be. Cause I was like, at first I was like, am I making a porno? Like, what is this?
Right. Right.
I'm like, what the hell? But no, it, just perspective from it. It's like, you know, it's still going to be a lot of me on screen, but I think I get where they're going with it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. And when does that come out? Next year?
I don't know.
The Greasy Strangler?
Yeah. I think sometime next year.
The Greasy Strangler 2?
No, just The Greasy Strangler.
Oh, why did I make a sequel for
you? I don't know. Don't make a sequel yet.
In my mind, there's more. Oh, Lord. That's so funny.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How much, this is one thing I wanted to ask you earlier when you were talking about the 33. How much do you think that being Latina has helped or hurt you as far as this industry goes? Because I know for me, I go up against all the time ethnicities, people who are ethnic. Stupid. I swear I'm not drunk. And I always get picked over or overlooked because they have like a need to fill, like they want to yeah. add the color to their world. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But I get overlooked a lot, especially for small character parts.
Yeah.
Have you found that that's actually been a benefit to you being Latina?
I mean, you know what? It's funny because I hear both sides of it. I hear Latino actors saying that they get overlooked because they're not white.
Sure.
And I hear the same, like you're saying, like your experience.
Yeah.
Maybe again, it's because I'm so naive about it, and because I don't see that, like I don't, I guess, see color. I mean, obviously, I know I'm Latina, right?
Thank God.
Yeah, like you know, I know, but I've never had a situation where I feel like I'm overlooked because I'm Latina, and I've never had a situation where I feel like I was picked because I was Latina.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the character role specifically says she's a Latina actor, or I mean a Latina character or whatever, you know. Unless it's that, then I know that specifically is for that. But originally, I think Joy, the character that ended up playing it for Idiot Sitter, wasn't even supposed to be, like, Latina.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be, like, I think Russian, or I'm not even sure, but something not Latina.
Yeah.
But
that's so great, though, that they were out of the box with their casting and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, so it was, it's just, I don't think it's ever really affected me or worked against me or worked for me. I think it's just... I've gone in, and for some reason, I just happen to be what they're looking for.
Yeah. How's the Latin community responded to you? Do you feel like they are treating you as one of their own? Or it's more just, you know...
Well, at first, I kind of shied away from it because... not shied away from the Latin community, but shied away from going to certain events
like
where a lot of Latino actors get together and promote each other. Because
like
I always
Alma
felt
like
Awards maybe,
and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and like events like Nosotros and stuff like that. Because I always felt like maybe I didn't have the kind of struggles that people would talk about, you know, facing like discrimination and you know, not being picked because
you don't want to feel like
Latinos.
You were being a poser, like, oh, the struggling Latina actress when it
because
wasn't
I
really
wasn't.
Your case.
I mean, like I told you, I mean, like Cold Case, it's just like for me, it's just been one thing after the other. Mm-hmm. And it's been so, I guess, quote unquote, easy in a way compared to as opposed to other actors. So I always kind of felt like weird about that. Like, so, but I went to a Nosotros event recently and they were so kind. And I told them my story and I'm like, you know, I didn't have his story. Like mine was super, I got here off the bus. I was super naive. Things just started happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and thank God, like it's
maybe
all worked out.
Maybe that's for the best. Yeah. Because sometimes I think actors overanalyze and they get too into their acting classes or too into their workshopping and they just don't let it kind of ride a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, so I think it kind of helped. And they were, and I thought they were going to be like, who's this girl? Like, what is she doing here? And they were so kind. And they were like, you know what? It's so refreshing. And I was like, really? I'm like, I didn't come off like an asshole. And they're like, no, you were so cute and so funny. And you're just kind of being you. So it worked. Like it worked. And we can see like this or we can see that. So that I was like, oh my God, like, thank God. Like I was so nervous about attending that event, honestly. Because I was just, I thought people were going to just hate me because of like, just how, you know, I'm just so not, I've just never experienced that. And even when I go back home, like my Spanish teacher asked me, she's like, can you tell the kids about the discrimination that you face, you know, coming as a Latina? And I was like, well, I came from a city that's about 95% Hispanic and I went to Los Angeles, which is about 95% Hispanic.
Yeah, it is.
I'm like, so
Chris and I are literally walking around sometimes and go, hey, there's another white person.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, I'm
what
like,
are they lost?
I mean, what happened? But no, but I'm like, I've never felt discriminated against, and maybe if I have, or if I've been like, if someone has tried to make me feel less than, I haven't noticed it because since I've never experienced it, I wouldn't know what to look for.
Sure. That's really great. I know that there are actors who have had those types of experiences though. And I think, and the same could be true for like plus size women. I have never been that I'm openly aware of discriminated against because I am bigger lady. Yeah. I also have never been cast in a part because I'm overweight. I've had auditions before for overweight parts, and I know that there are women.
Zafting.
Zafting, yes. That is the buzzword, zafting or curvy. I have had auditions for those types of parts before, but I mean, that's never been my experience. No one's ever been like, you're so fat, you know, you need to lose weight.
I've been told... like, oh, you're so great, you're so cute, but you're chubby, you're not fat funny.
Oh, is there a difference?
I guess so.
Oh.
Can there be chubby funny?
You could be chubby funny, I guess. I think in my situation, I think, or from my perspective, I think it's like I'm not the sight gag for a lot of the fat jokes. Like, I'm too small to be like, you know, the cute, quirky best friend, or too big to be the quirky best friend, but I'm not big enough to be like the fat lady that gets stuck in an elevator.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is not hilarious, but in my mind just now it kind of was.
It kind of was.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not big enough to be the side gag.
Which is the same thing for me. And I always struggle with the weight thing, like, because I want to be fitter, but I know that if I lose weight, then I become more the in-between size.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's either you have to be a size 2 or you have to be like a size
22.
Yeah. Pretty much. And so we're both in that category. Mm-hmm. We're like right in between.
And I find casting sometimes doesn't know what to do with me then.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, you know, because it's a really strange business that we're in where every single thing that you do and how you look is scrutinized and is categorized. And so it's hard to find like that self-love and that self-confidence where you're like, you know what? I look fine the way I am. As long as I'm healthy and I've got my family, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, cast me, don't cast me, whatever. It's hard to find that place and get comfortable in it.
Oh yeah. I mean, because before I remember that I would leave auditions and I would like on my way home driving, I like repeat like the lines over like, oh, I should have done that. And like drive myself insane.
I do that too.
And what I started doing, I think it was 3 years ago, is that as soon as I would literally walk out of that audition, I grab the sides, rip them and throw them out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I would force myself not to think about it. I'd play music. I'd call people. Because then I would just get so wrapped up in this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been so fortunate that I've done things that people like are fans of, like of the show or whatnot. So like now it's not, I'm no longer in that kind of like that in-between stage. Like it's just more like I go in for stuff and then, you know, that's it.
Right.
Like as opposed to before, it's kind of, they didn't know where to put me before. And now it's just kind of like, oh, well she does this. So we can, she'd be great for this or, you know, great for that. But that's still, you know, you try not to make yourself think about
getting a mental state. Cause
like even, you know, we went in for that audition on Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can say the name of it, but we went in for that audition on Friday and we're both so different.
You
know, cause so obviously they don't know what they're
looking for. And we're auditioning for the same part in a really big movie.
Yeah.
And, and I'm so mad that you didn't see my message cause I was like next door getting food.
I know.
Literally, like, stuffing my face.
But
like,
didn't the last time we saw each other at Two Broke Girls?
Yeah.
Which is, like, I remember getting the call at 9 a.m. and they told me, like, the audition's at 11 and you have 10 pages of dialogue. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Talk about, like, a panic. And especially because I had my 2-year-old and I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. And because they were shooting it Monday.
Yeah.
So, but I think that was the previous time that I had seen you. Mm-hmm. And I remember I saw you and I'm like, oh, of course she's here, too.
I know. Well, that to me is just like, they don't know what they want.
Yeah. Well, no, my manager told me, and again, we're not saying the name, so nobody knows what this is.
Yes.
My manager told me that they had called in the office and asked the other managers in her office to see if they had any girls that they could send in for this particular part. So they were just kind of like, you know, throwing out a wide net and seeing like who they could get. To see who could fill this role. And I think sometimes what happens is because they get this idea of who they want and maybe that person's not available, that person doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then they're looking for someone that's similar to that person.
Yeah.
You know?
One day I will book another movie. I did a Lifetime movie last fall and it doesn't count because I mean, like, I want to do like a good feature. One day we'll see. I'm hanging in there. It's coming. I'm putting it out there. Like the secret.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Can I tell you? I know like,
did you secret cheesy. Your career?
Oh my God. No, seriously. Every year I will do a dream board and everything that I put on my dream board last year has come true.
Wow.
And this year. Cause I wanted to be in a movie. I wanted to travel out of the country. So I did the 33. I went to Chile and I said, I wanted to be in a series but I wanted to work from home. I got Idiot Sitter and we shot it here in LA.
So great.
Yeah. That's so great. And then I said I wanted to do more films this year and I did 2 films back to back after I was done with Idiot Sitter. Like literally I was done with Idiot Sitter on a Saturday at 3 a.m. in the morning. I went in that Saturday at 11 a.m. to Greasy Strangler and then I shot all of that through until Sunday the 7th of June. And then I flew out at 4 o'clock in the morning from LA on the 8th to go to Ontario. To go film another film.
Wow.
So it's just like,
but that's so great. What a great year you're having. And like couple of years, I should say. And
it's
I hope the momentum continues for you because it's so exciting to see your friends do well. I know this is a weirdly competitive business, but honestly, it truly is exciting to see your friends do well and succeed because then that means by association, I'm doing well. and you could come on and do my podcast.
But
it's true,
but I mean, like, but I think the thing is, like, if you kind of support each other and not, I mean, and I get that there's going to be that little inkling of, like, why couldn't that be me? Although with parts, with, like, the parts that I get, like, most people really can't because they're so specific.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if you could play Susana Valenzuela.
I could try.
33.
I could be Susana. I could get a spray
Or you
tan.
Could play Maria. But I'm just saying, like, that it's sometimes there's that little thing of, like, oh, shit, like, I wish I could have done that. But you're still happy. But then there's becomes,
Did you say
like,
Gerard Butler is in the movie?
No.
Who's in the movie, did you say, that was from Scotland?
Oh, no, no, Gabriel Byrne.
Okay, yeah, Gabriel Byrne. Was he playing a Scottish man, or was
No, he was playing a Chilean man.
See?
Well, I think he was Chilean. I think he was supposed to be a Sigurd.
Yeah. See, and, Scott, I'm Scottish-Irish, so I can
well,
do
there
it.
There you go, you can do it.
See?
But no, but I think that there's that, like, the little, like, competitiveness, but then there's also sometimes where it becomes, the competitiveness can take over you completely, and then it just, So it's just like you have to find a balance, I think.
It inhibits your ability to be happy for your friends.
Exactly.
And that's a shame. That's a point I never want to get out. I mean, there's always going to be a little part of you that's a little envious.
Oh, of course, you're human.
You know?
You're
human. Because you're like, oh, I want to do that too. But I don't know. Ultimately, like, I've chosen to be happy for my friends because I know in my heart that it's good things are coming my way too.
Yes.
And good things have happened in my career. So it serves me no purpose.
Well, you're like everywhere. Like anytime that I look at Facebook, like, I'm going to be over here. I'm going to be over there. I'm like, this chick, like, what?
I know, right? I'm so famous.
She's everywhere.
But I, I do believe that good things are coming.
Because you were one of my favorite shows, Scandal, weren't you?
No, not Scandal.
Was it? Oh, Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's, yeah.
Yes.
I was on Grey's. And people like to say, why'd you steal Dr. Bailey's kid? I was like, you clearly do not watch the show. We're not paying attention. They were distracted by my khaki pants in that episode. It was
Your khaki pants were
so hideous. But anyway.
it's okay. You worked on a Chandler show, which means
it's true.
It's like a theater group.
Yeah, I know, right?
So you may show up on Scandal.
I hope. Well, I've been on Private Practice and Grey's Anatomy, so Scandal has got to be coming next.
I'm so jealous of Private Practice because I'm like a huge Kate Walsh fan.
I know you are.
And I went in for this arc that ended up going, Amanda, oh my gosh, I always forget her last name. She's Meatloaf's daughter.
Oh.
She got the part.
Not
fair. And actually, Lindsay Hollerstein and I both went in for this role, and it was, and Christy Sexton.
Oh,
and we were
wow.
all there. All of us were there. And I really wanted it so bad, because I'm like, I get to work with Kate Walsh.
I know. She was really nice. She sat down next to me in the makeup chair. Could not have been sweeter. And I'm such a dork on that set. Like, it was like a really intense rape. It was right after Charlotte had been raped.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the...
That episode was... I thought it was real. It was really well done.
Really well done. And it was the... I was the intake nurse that was, like, checking her... Clipping her fingernails and, like, getting all the swabbing her and all of that stuff. So it was, like, right after it just happened. And, like, the makeup that Katie Strickland, had on was phenomenal. And I'm so inappropriate. Like, that was the moment where I realized, like, I may not be great for a drama. I shouldn't probably put this out there, but I don't remember what I said, but I was saying something like to the AD, like, I don't want to mess up my lines, or, you know, I don't want you guys to get, you know, rough with me or rough me up or whatever. And he goes, she's already been roughed up enough. Like, referring to Charlotte. And I was like, you know, she wasn't really raped, right? Like, this isn't real. We're making TV. And I go, oh, yes, of course, of course. No, I understand. And then I just felt like a total dick the rest of the time. I was like, did I just inadvertently make a rape joke? Like, what's wrong with me? But I was just thinking, like, not even thinking is really more like it. But I felt like it made me feel like a total asshole. And I was like, well, great. I'll never work in this town again. So,
yeah, I mean, some people sometimes take it too seriously. I mean, I get with this particular episode, they're one you wanted to have some care, you know, in it because
this
of the topic.
Yeah, this was between set. And we've been setting up. They were like setting up bags of evidence for like an hour. And Kate Walsh was like, what is the problem? Like, come on. So it was a little bit lighter mood and everyone's kind of waiting. And I just sort of was like, yeah, I don't want to get roughed up. And
That AD was apparently
he was like, not... she's already had and been through enough. And I was like, okay, ooh, I'll be over here in the corner saying inappropriate jokes to myself.
Or, but anyway, or Kate Walsh. Because she would totally, totally.
I feel like she would have got me. She would have felt me.
Totally. I could see her. I went to a few Jimmy Kimmel shows so that I could like.
See
get
her.
An autograph and take a picture with her. And she's really funny.
Yeah.
So. She's... It was like my friend, you know, Kaylee Scott from...
Why does that sound familiar?
Ginger, curly hair, long,
is she
tall.
My competition? Do I have to take her out? She might be. Know who that is. I do. She
could
was,
be, yeah.
She at Lindsay's bridal shower?
No.
Oh, then I have no idea. I'm like, go on.
I'm like, no. But yeah, so we would go and, you know, and take pictures with her. So she's really nice.
Well, I just want to tell you before we go really quick, congratulations on the 33. That's very exciting. And all the exciting things that are coming up for you in the coming year, we'll be keeping track of you on the show and on Motherhood in Hollywood. Tell me really quick where everybody can find you on social media.
I'm on Twitter. I'm E. Durazzo. That's E-D-E-R-A-Z-Z-O. Okay. And on Instagram, I'm Elizabeth Durazzo. And
do you have a Facebook fan page?
Yeah, I have a public page. It's just Elizabeth Durazzo. Just look me up. Oh, there's a fake one which has like no likes, but mine has more likes.
Sure. Sure.
And that's kind of it. I don't do like Tumblr or anything else. So
yeah. Oh my gosh, I have a Tumblr page, but nobody ever goes there. I have like 2 followers, so I'm like,
I don't really use it. I'm not active.
And I have like, you're also not 15. Like, I feel like that's what Tumblr is there for.
And I have a blogger where I use it more as a vlog because I'm like trying to lose weight again, and it's called Lizzie's Weighty Issues.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I saw you posting about that.
Yeah, so I'm doing that.
Oh well, we'll keep track of you on there too, and I'll post all of this on my website, motherhoodinhollywood.com. And if you guys are looking for Motherhood in Hollywood, we are on Facebook and at MIH Podcast on Twitter and at Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood. And Elizabeth, Liz, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. This is so much fun. I could sit here and talk to you forever, and I probably will once we stop recording.
So we can actually talk about the real thing.
So we're going to get real.
We're going to work. So really, guys. I mean, not that it was totally fake what we just talked about. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Okay, you guys, have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Balls.